Well, we're sorry y'all didn't have anywhere to go for spring break, but we're glad you're here. Delighted to have you with us. And keep in mind that tonight we have our prayer session, and Tom Steed is going to be directing that for us tonight. And make your plans to be with us tonight at 6 o'clock. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. And we're going to be reading extensively from the first chapter of that book. And we're going to start off in just a minute with verses 12 through verse 15 again, because Peter is giving us in this book of 2 Peter three reminders. And we want to focus, first of all, on the first reminder. And it's going to be verses 12 through verse 15. And I'd like for you to read it along with me. I will tell you, as you're getting ready to do that, every time I read these verses, 12 through 15, I think of my grandmother and my mother. I'll tell you why in just a minute. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Do you notice? Peter doesn't mind repeating things. He doesn't mind saying things over and over and over again. He goes on. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. I didn't do it so much with my grandmother, but my grandmother was a lot like my mother, and my mother would continually say things that she thought that I needed to hear. And I heard them a lot. And there was a couple of times when I made the mistake of interrupting her and finishing her sentence for her before she finished it. She never appreciated that. She never liked that. Sometimes it became angering. But if I ever said, I've heard that before, I know what you're about to say. And then she would say, well, good. Then maybe when I'm gone, you'll remember it. And I see that all over what Peter is saying here, that he is repeating and reminding them, and he's going to continually do that for as long as he's alive so that we will remember it. And repeating things is not bad, not bad at all. So let's start with verse 1, and let's look at the first of the three things he wants us to be remembering. We're just going to mention the last two, but we want to focus on the first one, which begins in verses 1 through verse 3, and you'll read along with me. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, but you'll notice some difference in the words, and the difference in the words will just simply help you with an understanding of what the text is talking about. So don't worry about different translation. Simon Peter, a servant, a slave, literal meaning of the word, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing. A faith of equal standing equals a faith that is as precious as ours, or a faith that is of the same kind as ours. Having the same faith the Apostle Peter had, the Apostle Paul had, the Apostle John, all of those that we read about in the New Testament. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness, not obtained because of our own merit, our own goodness, but obtained because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, what he did and who he was. Why, the righteousness of, notice this phrase, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Frank spent a quarter talking to us about Jesus, his relationship to God, and all the different things that are said, especially in the Old Testament, about the angel of God and trying to identify who that angel of God might be referring to. And here in connection with that, Peter reminds us, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ that he's having reference to when he says our God and our Savior. You can see that thought repeated or a similar thought to it if you drop down to verse 11. And down in verse 11, he says, "For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." But as we continue to read back up in verse 2, then we see the separation or the distinction. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Knowing God's will, knowing Jesus' words, Jesus' will, knowing God the Father and Jesus the Son, knowing and understanding the knowledge we have from him, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. How overwhelmed are you right now with the grace of God toward you and the life that you're living? How overwhelmed right now are you with a sense of peace? Is there a sense of troubling and doubt that are overwhelming you? Look at what Peter says in this verse. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. How do we get grace and peace? How do we strengthen it? Through the knowledge of God. It is that he wants us to remember and how we go about obtaining it. So we drop down to verse 3 and we start reading what he says, that he wants us to remember. But keep in mind, when I find myself feeling a very strong lack of grace and a very strong lack of peace, I'm forgetting something. I'm not remembering something. And he's going to bear that out and bring it out as we go through the reading. Verse 3, he says this, his, God, Jesus, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Everything I need to know about life, everything I need to know about how to be godly, is learned and understood by learning about him, by coming to the knowledge he desires me to have. And he goes on, through the knowledge of him who called us through the gospel, through the message of Jesus Christ. He called us to his own glory and his own excellence. What does he mean by that? God has called us through Jesus to his own glory and his own excellence. Well, in order to help us, look at verse 4. By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them, through those promises, and the primary promise being all sins are forgiven through your faith in Jesus Christ. All sins are washed away through your faith in Jesus Christ. We'll come back to that thought as he does in just a second. But finish reading this verse. By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. We become like God. Through the knowledge of him, through understanding those promises that he has made to us, we become partakers of the divine nature. We become like God. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire, we've moved away from our own sinful desires, moving toward the likeness of God, moving toward what He would have us to be like. For this very reason, to be able to put on that divine nature, to be able to have that assurance of grace and peace, to be able to have all that God intended for us to have, make every effort to supplement. Now, we're going to break these down as we go through verses 3-11. And as we break them down, I'm going to put them up in a different way. We're going to look at them one at a time. And the first one that comes up is the idea of supplement. Supplement to your faith. Your trust in God. Your trust in Jesus. Your trust in the promises. Supplement that with. Supplement. It doesn't mean to have faith and then to add something else and then to add something else as if it's different and distinguishing from faith. But it supplements. The best way I know of to illustrate that, or at least the way I've chosen to illustrate it, there may be a better way. But when I lived in Gadsden, I was a basketball coach for the YMCA. YMCA invited teams that wanted to participate, and they would every Saturday have games for ages, all ages. And I was a coach for the kindergarten group. My youngest player was a five-year-old and went up through kindergarten, maybe even about to enter first grade. But I had a group of boys and girls who came to me because they just simply came to the Y and said they wanted to play. Some of the other teams were organized teams, but our group was just the ones that came to the Y and said, would like to play, who knew very little, if anything, about basketball. And so what I did as the coach of that team was we would start off with the very first few practices and as many as we needed to after that, with having them just to hold the ball, just to get a sense of its weight, how it feels, and how it felt. Then we would very quickly go into pairing each other off and then taking the ball and bounce passing to the person across from you. Just taking the ball and bouncing it to them, and then them bouncing it back to you and you catching it. I did that because it's harder to catch a ball if you're not used to it if somebody throws it straight at you. And you have to learn how to throw the ball straight with your thumbs coming down and the ball going out. But we wanted to do the same thing with the bounce pass. We did that till they felt comfortable with it. Then we would do the actual pass. And we would do that until they became comfortable with it. And then once they got comfortable with passing and holding the ball and catching it, then we started dribbling. And we dribbled with looking at the ball, watching it go up and down and getting the feel for it and bouncing it back and pushing it down and bringing it back up and pushing it down again. And then we would do it with the left hand and go back and forth between the hands. And then we would look up and bounce without looking at the ball. And then eventually, after we'd gone through all of that, we would get to the point where we would shoot. You can't score in basketball unless you shoot. But we don't want to start there. We want to go through a progression of all these things to feel comfortable with the basketball, to be able to do everything we need to do in connection with the game of basketball. And we add every single one of those things as we go through to supplement to where all of them are a part of us. That's what he means by supplement. So supplement to your faith virtue. Virtue is excellence of character. It's being what God would have me to be. It's living the way God would want me to live. And then adding or supplementing to my virtue, knowledge. That seems kind of strange. But do you remember how Jesus puts it in the Great Commission? Go make disciples. They have to be taught about Jesus. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They make a resolution or a promise, or they enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Then teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Knowledge, understanding of God's will is something they're going to continue to grow in. And so we add to our determination to be like God would have us to be, our knowledge of what that means. and our knowledge of understanding what that's going to imply. And we supplement all of that with self-control, bringing ourselves under control, under the control of God, under the control of Jesus, doing the things that He would have us to do. And we supplement that self-control with steadfastness. Keep on doing it. Not just when somebody is around or not just when you're wanting to impress someone, but it's something you do as a natural part of your life and make it a natural part of your life. And so we add to that steadfastness and endurance or patience. And then we add to that godliness. Supplement that to godliness. Understanding that we're becoming like Him. And that's our goal. And that's our aim. In every aspect, to become like Him. And we supplement that with brotherly kindness. To love our brothers and sisters in Christ. To love those that we know we're supposed to love. Love those that we're close to. And then to love, period. To love everyone. Which means seeking what is best for every single individual and helping them to become what God would have them to be. Now go back to the reading and come down to verse 8. Look at what he says in verse 8. Having all these supplements. For if these qualities, the word qualities actually means these things. These things is literally the phrase that is used in the text. And it's sometimes translated as these qualities. But he's talking about all the things he's just listed. And he says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, not saying they're yours completely and you have them in perfection, but if these things are yours and they are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're striving to obtain these things, and you're striving to allow these things in your life to grow, then they do not make you ineffective or unfruitful. He goes on, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. What happens when you no longer feel you're under God's grace? What happens when you're no longer at peace? Have you forgotten what's been done for you? To me, that's the very first question that ought to come to mind whenever we're trying to bring somebody to Christ. Do you know what's been done for you? To me, whenever there's a period in my life when I don't feel very close to God, I don't feel like God is very close to me, then I need to be reminded, have you forgotten what's been done for you? And that's what Peter is talking about here. When we run into those problems, we've stopped thinking about what's been done for us. We're not remembering what's been done for us. Whoever lacks these qualities, whoever is not striving to become like this, is so nearsighted that they've become blind. And they are blind because they have forgotten that they were cleansed of their former sins. Their sins are forgiven. Their sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. If you practice these qualities, you will never turn your back on Him. You will never walk away from Him. You will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the first thing he wanted them to remember. That's the first and foremost thing he wanted to remind them of every time he had a chance to talk with them. Must be very important for us to remind ourselves of those very things as well. But he had two more reminders. We'll just mention them. The two more reminders are these. Beware false prophets and teachers, because there's a lot of them in the world. Beware of people who aren't saying what Jesus said, who aren't declaring what God has revealed to us. There are a lot of them in the world, and you need to be aware of them. And then the other one is, know for certain that the day of the Lord is coming. Know for certain Jesus is coming back. And he will receive those to himself who have striven to live like him and to live like God instructs. There are false teachers, and make for certain that you know Jesus is coming back, and it could be at any time. So Peter wanted this reminder, these three reminders, to be the focus of the people who would read his letter, to be the focus of us, to be the focus of all those who heard his voice. And these are three reminders that all of us need to be aware of. How's your faith? How's your walk? Are you in Christ? Are you ready to be in Christ? Are you ready to be baptized into him to begin this life? Do you need to come home to him? We want to offer you his invitation if you need to come, as together we stand and as we sing.